is risen.
Amen.
Aren't we thankful that we serve a risen Savior? Amen. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture this morning where Paul is standing in defense of the resurrection. There are, in our faith, there are certain essentials that are fundamental to our belief system. These are not negotiable. These six doctrines, of course there are more than that, but these six are absolute essentials to the faith. You don't believe these, you're not a believer. If your church does not teach this, you're going to the wrong church. Let me give them to you real quick. Number one, the virgin birth, non-negotiable. Christ was born of a virgin, amen? Her name was Mary. God became man. Number two, the deity of Christ, non-negotiable. Believe that Jesus not only was man, but was God. Fully God, fully man. Number three, the blood atonement. We believe that the Bible teaches that Jesus shed his precious blood to pay our sin debt. The Bible promises us that Christ would come and deliver us from death. And the way he did that was by shedding his blood on the cross. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The inspiration of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, we believe in a plenary verbal kind of inspiration. Verbal, every word. Plenary, every part. It is completely from God. Amen?
Amen.
Number five, the resurrection of Christ. That's the hub on which the wheel of Christianity turns. No resurrection, it all falls apart. Then the last one is the second coming. This same Jesus that was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus is coming again. Amen?
Amen.
We believe that. So these six things are essentials. They're necessary. They must be believed. And in our text, the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul runs into a group in Corinth who had begun to teach that there was no resurrection. They weren't quite ready to deny the resurrection of Christ, because after all, this was just 26 years after he rose from the dead that this is being written. But they were willing to deny that anyone else was going to resurrect. That was just foolishness. And so Paul in defense of the resurrection. By the way, everyone here who knows Christ as his Savior or her Savior, if you die, you will go to heaven immediately. Christ promised, as the first fruits of them that slept, that you would resurrect and go to heaven. Remember what he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. The resurrection. So Paul focuses on that false teaching that had entered the church at Corinth. You know, it's interesting to me, just 26 years after Christ rose from the dead, there were false teachers. Paul said there'd be false teachers. He said to us that, told us that in 1 and 2 Timothy. Now, if there were false teachers 26 years after the resurrection, I got news for you, they're false teachers today. A lot of people have swallowed a lot of silliness when it comes to the doctrines of the Bible. But I'm so thankful that here at Salem Baptist Church, not because of me, but because of this book, here at Salem Baptist Church, we believe what the Bible says. Amen. And so this morning we're going to just tell you exactly what Paul was saying, what he said, and how he defended the resurrection. Look with me at verse 12. Of 1 Corinthians 15, listen to what Paul says. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, this is an important statement. Bible preaching of Bible doctrine equals Bible truth. Amen? Bible preaching of Bible doctrine equals Bible truth. And that's what Paul is saying. He said, now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection? How do you say that? How can you say that nobody else is going to raise from the dead? Verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not resurrected? If his promise to you that because he died on the cross, rose from the dead, that you, if you receive him, you would go to heaven, you would resurrect from the dead. If you don't do that, he lied. If he lied, he did not rise from the dead. He's still dead, still in the grave, not unable to save anyone. And so Paul is saying, if you deny this one point, you deny the resurrection of Christ. And so now he goes on to point out why that is such a fallacy. What's wrong with that position if you deny the resurrection of Christ? What effect will it have on our belief system? What effect will it have in what we say we believe and hold to be true? Well, he gives us five things in this passage that would be damaged if Christ is not risen. Notice with me, first of all, verse 14. If Christ is not risen, you want to write these down. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is without merit or value. Listen to verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. That word vain is means empty. Hollow. What are you doing here? What am I doing here? Sunday afternoon, if Christ is not risen, why on earth would you stand here, sit here and preach the gospel? Why would you come to hear it? What purpose would it serve? If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, empty, without merit. It is no good. It's useless. You might as well be a Scientologist. We say we believe the Bible. And so we get up on Sunday morning like this, come to a church like this, with you precious people, and open the Bible and tell you what the Bible says. And we listen to it. We take it in. It's valuable. It's an asset. It has great power. But if Christ is not risen from the dead, then it's empty. It's hopeless. It's helpless. In fact, I'd say this, it's harmful. If Christ is not risen from the dead, and we stand up and say he is, and we teach that, and then you go around and propagate that, we're lying to our generation. And that's harmful. There are a lot of philosophic lies out there, amen? A lot of things people want to tell you that aren't true. If this isn't true, we're no better than they are. If Christ be not risen from the dead, then is our preaching vain, empty, without merit, valueless. Number two, verse 14 says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And listen to this, and your faith is also vain. Faith is empty of its power if Christ is not risen. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Amen? Amen. So we have our faith in that object, Christ. Now listen very carefully to this. The object of your faith must be able to sustain your faith. How many understand that? The object of your faith must be able to sustain your faith. If I put my faith in men, sooner or later they're going to fail me. I put my faith in a job, sooner or later I may lose it. If I put my faith in a church, sooner or later they may turn. But if I put my faith in Christ, he and he alone can sustain my faith. Amen. And we put our faith in a resurrected Christ. If he's still dead, then our faith is vain. A faith that cannot stand when tested. A faith that has no power to bring you peace. So when Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He was lying. It's worse than make-believe. So these people came into Corinth, were teaching that there's no resurrection, and Paul said, do you understand what you're doing? When you say that, you're attacking the very doctrine of the resurrection of Christ. And if his promise of your resurrection is not true, then he didn't resurrect. And if he's not resurrected, then our preaching is without value. Our faith is without value. It's empty. It has no meaning, no help, no encouragement. There's a third thing he says. If there is no resurrection of Christ from the dead, it's impossible. You need to write that word down. Impossible for the claims of Christianity to be true. Listen to verse 15. Christ is not raised. We are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ when he raised him not up. We're lying. Now we say we believe the word of God. Amen? We have that position. We say that we believe what the Bible teaches about sin, what the Bible has to say about Christ, what the Bible has to say about the way of salvation. We believe those things. Because of that, if you're saved, you were brought to a place where you saw your need and received him. Now, if Christ is not risen, all of that was just monkey business. Do you understand how important the resurrection is? A church that says, well, we're not going to put too much emphasis on the resurrection any longer. It's an antiquated doctrine. They've just compromised enough that within a year or so, or 2 years, they're going to be saying there is no resurrection. It's really not true. It's just a story, just to make us feel better about ourselves, just to help us form a better standard of living. Just be the best you can. Just do the best you can. After all, there's no resurrection. All of our claims, every iota of doctrine, every truth the Scripture teaches, falls to the ground without any merit if Christ is not risen. I had in my personal library before I retired from our other church, I had 4,000 volumes that I purchased. Every one, either a devotional book or a theological treatise on a particular part of Scripture, or a commentary on a book, or a group of commentaries on the whole of the Bible. 4,000. Thousands and thousands of dollars. If Christ is not risen, what a foolish expenditure. What a silly thing. I hope that people understand when they come to church, we're not just saying something that helps us feel better at the end of the day. We're saying this is what we believe, and are assured of. We know whom we have believed. We're persuaded that he is able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day when he comes back to get us. If Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain. If Christ be not risen, our faith is vain. If Christ be not risen, it's impossible for any of our claims of Scripture to be true. Now, I've told people things that we believe. A man asked me one time, what are you going to do if you die? In fact, when I had my heart problem, the doctor told me, what are you going to do when you die? You know, you're going to die someday. I said, I'm going to go to heaven. That was my first answer. I wasn't trying to be smart. I just said, I'm going to go to heaven. What? He said, I don't believe that. I felt like saying, so what? No, I didn't say that. I'm going to heaven. No, I really believe that. And it's not because I believe it, it's because Jesus said so. Christ rose from the dead. I believe that.
Amen.
That's what we believe. That's what we teach here. That's what we preach.
Amen.
There's a fourth thing. If Christ be not raised from the dead, listen to this. It's impossible for sin to be pardoned. Look at verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. I was 18 when I got saved. I was running from God. I lived a selfish, self-centered, godless life. And I heard the gospel preached in a chapel session. And I gripped the pew. And I thought to myself, how good it would be to know my sins are forgiven. What an incredible gift that would be. And I went down to that altar and asked Jesus into my heart. And he forgave all my sin. He separated them as far as the east from the west. He remembered them no more. He buried them in the deepest sea. Only a resurrected Savior can forgive sin. Because if he did not resurrect, he's still dead. And a dead Savior cannot save anyone. All of the ancient Levitical sacrifices point to a lamb that was brought to the priest, put his hand on the head of that lamb, then slit its throat, bled it to death. They did not throw that blood away. They put it in a dish or a cauldron. The priest carried that through the courtyard of the temple into the Holy of Holies, and he poured it, or rantizo, sprinkle it on the altar. When God saw the blood, he passed over the sins of Israel. They had to do that every year. Every year. Year in, year out. Till one day, a lamb came. A precious lamb. Without spot or blemish. And he went to the cross and gave his lifeblood so that we could be redeemed. He did it one time, and it never has to be done again, because that lamb went to the grave, and 3 days later, he walked out. Up from the grave he arose. The mighty triumph over his foes, he arose a victor from that dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, we sing. He arose, hallelujah. Christ arose. And there's one other thing. Verse 18 tells us this. If Christ is not risen, then all those who have died in Christ are perished. It says here, then they also which are fallen asleep, that word fallen asleep is used of believers. It's not talking about soul sleep. It's just a sweet way or a tender way for God to describe our death. Those who have passed on. Marie Sanford passed away. We saw her about 5 days ago. She was just as quick as she always was. Both my wife and I crack our knuckles. Not anything that... She said, why do you do that? I said, what? She said, why are you cracking your knuckles? I said, and Norma said, well, it makes them last longer. She goes, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. She was saying to me, she said one time to me when I was visiting with her, she said, I'm looking for something. I said, what are you looking for? She said, I don't know, but when I find it, I'll let you know. Well, she was looking for something. She was looking to go home to heaven. She was as calm as she could be when we visited with her. Just a few days ago, she closed her eyes. Just a moment, and she opened her eyes, and she was there. Amen. Now listen to me. All that hope, all that longing, all that looking forward to is bunk. If Christ be not risen. Those that have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. They went to hell. Because if there's no Savior from sin, your sin condemns you. And it condemns you to an eternity separated from God. And if Christ is not risen, then my dad, who got saved just a few months before he passed, isn't in heaven. My mom isn't in heaven. My grandmother isn't in heaven. My aunts aren't in heaven. My uncles not in heaven. all those people that we love so much are not there. There's no glad reunion day. No joyous day of recollection. No seeing them in heaven. If Christ is not risen from the dead, all those that have gone on before us aren't there. Heaven is a doctrine in the Bible we hold on to. It's a truth that's taught throughout Scripture. Jesus has just spent the greater part of a long night with his disciples, 13th chapter of John. He ministered them. Judas went out and betrayed him. The 14th chapter, as he's going to the Garden of Gethsemane, he noticed there was a change in the attitude of his disciples. He noticed there was a sadness that seemed to attach itself to them. They were trying to contemplate all that he had said about dying, going to Jerusalem, and giving up his life, and they couldn't wrap their mind around it. And Jesus paused and looked at them and said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Then Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He's the only way. Amen. He promised that he would come again. He promised that they would have a home in heaven. Abraham, the Bible says, looked for a city whose ruler and builder is God. Amen?
Amen.
We look for that same city. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Amen? I'm so glad that Paul said in verse 20, after all those arguments, he looked into the face of those false teachers and he said, "Hey, fellas, listen. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Your silly doctrine doesn't work here. We're going to be just enough old-fashioned, if you please, to believe the Bible. Just enough old-fashioned to accept its claims. Just enough old-fashioned to teach its truths. And someday, some glorious day, when all this is over, whether we go up at the rapture or Christ takes us home at death, matters not to me, but we'll all be gathered home in heaven to see and touch and talk to and worship a living, resurrected Savior. Don't tell me the resurrection is important. It's the doctrine that holds together all the other doctrines in the Bible. Lord, help us to be deeply thankful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Thank you that Paul stood firmly, defended this truth, and showed what would happen if it weren't true, to dispel those lies, and then firmly stated, now is Christ risen. Thank you, Lord. Help us to live for you, stand for truth, love your word. Pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.